Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
James 4:2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your desires." Yesterday, we talked about how to use stuff to enjoy God. That's the purpose of God's gifts. God gives us things so that we would use them to increase our delight in Him. But when we turn God's gifts into idols, instead of using stuff to enjoy God, we start using God to get stuff. It's crucial that we understand this, because you can pray for something you want, and depending on what's in your heart, that prayer can be immensely pleasing to God, or it can be dishonoring and infuriating to Him. James is going to show us what makes the difference.
This is how covetousness kills prayer. Covetousness kills prayer. The more covetous desires you have in your heart, the less you're going to pray. It's going to destroy your prayer life. The orientation and the direction and the focus and attention of your soul is always going to be in the direction of whatever it thinks the source of happiness is. That's the way your whole soul is going to face. And so if it's something other than God, then you're not going to be faced towards God. God is just going to be a means to an end. I might pray still out of a sense of duty, still got to get up in the morning, still got to put in my half hour, I still got to, you know, get on my knees, and I might do it out of duty, but I'm not going to feel a sense of urgency. I'm not going to be driven in desperation to pray, to draw near to God, unless I think I need God to help me get my idol that I really want. And God says the only way you'll ever draw near to Him and actually experience His presence to the point where He satisfies the cravings of your soul is if you seek Him with all your heart. It takes earnestness. It takes desperation. And you won't have that if you don't think He's the only source. Think of the presence of God, experiencing the presence of God, as being like something that's on top of a really high, really steep mountain. It's up there on top. And getting up that mountain is very difficult. At times, seems impossible. Nobody ever makes it to the top of that mountain until they're desperate to get up there. The only people that are desperate to get up there are people that are fully convinced that the only water that can satisfy the cravings of their dried up soul is up on top of that mountain. They're the only ones that are going to persevere enough to get up there. The rest of us, when you believe there's water somewhere else, available somewhere else, you're going to try, you might start wandering up the mountain a little bit, you'll hit the first cliff and you'll give up. You'll give up. And so when you have covetous desires, hostile desires, your whole prayer life is going to become empty, passionless, perfunctory, boring, and in many cases, non-existent. You'll just stop. And you get to the only prayers you ever pray are nothing but statements about how inadequate God is. And basically, that's your prayer life. That's all God ever hears coming out of your mouth. God, please provide a spouse for me because you're not enough. I have to be married in order to be happy and satisfied. God, you're not enough. I need a better job in order to be happy in life, so please provide me with a better job. We pray prayers like that all the time, except we don't articulate that first part. All we do is say, please give me a better job. But what our heart is saying is, please give me a better job because you're not enough. I got to have this job in order to be happy. In fact, not only do we not articulate that, very often we don't even realize that attitude is there. We think it's a perfectly innocent desire, a perfectly good thing to pray for, and yet it's one that's gone hostile. So we go ahead and ask God for it. We don't realize it's bad. God, I got this job interview this afternoon. Please let me do well in the job interview. Please let my wife not be in a bad mood today. Please let this thing heal up in my body. And it might sound even selfless. It might be for someone else's benefit. God, please let me get there on time so that people don't have to wait for me. And they're not inconvenienced. Please don't let my boss call me in on Saturday so that I can be free to help my friend move, so that I can be free to, you know, come to work day or something. And those sound like great prayers, don't they? But even those desires, they can turn hostile, can't they? They can go hostile. So God says no to it, and I get mad. You say, well, how do I know if the thing I'm praying for is one of those where it sounds good, but it's actually underneath, it's a hostile, covetous kind of a desire? Well, one way is to look at your attitude. Jesus revealed so much to us about prayer and how to find our attitudes when he taught us to pray, nevertheless, thy will, not my will, be done. When you're praying, always ask yourself, is that my attitude? Not just my words, but is that my attitude? Is my attitude, I want your will more than I want my own thing I'm asking for? Or is your attitude, nevertheless, my will be done? When you ask for something in prayer, do you have an attitude that says, God, if it turns out that this thing that I'm asking for is contrary to your perfect plan, I don't want any part of it. I do not want it. I would rather have your plan. I like your plan better than even this thing that to me seems like the best thing right now. Is that your attitude? Or is your attitude, God, I want this thing, period. I want it. I can see it is the best thing. You say, well, what if it's not the best? It is the best thing. And that's just, you're just thinking right now. And if there's a conflict between what God says and does and what I think is best, my heart has this attitude. I still want it. I still want it. If that's the case, it's become a covetous desire. You're praying for your own kingdom. You're not saying your kingdom come, your will be done. You're saying my kingdom come, my will be done. Nevertheless, my will, not your will, be done. There's a little thing, a little paper in your bulletin. It's not really part of the sermon today. I just put it in there if it might be helpful since I'm mentioning prayer. It's just an assessment that I'm using with the guys I'm discipling for how to assess where you're at in your prayer life and what parts maybe need a little work. So you can use that for whatever, maybe fill it out and use it with a mentor or your prayer group or something and just ask, you know, how can I shore up these weak areas? Anyway, number one on that list is, am I praying with a nevertheless your will be done attitude or a nevertheless my will be done attitude? That's one of the most fundamental assessments you can make of your prayer life. If I ask God for a new car or a new job or physical healing, or a spouse, or anything like that. I need to say, God, I want this thing so that I can use it to draw near to your presence. So I can use it for your glory. And if God's answer is, if I give you this thing you're asking for, if I give you physical healing right now, if I give you a spouse right now, if I give you a new car right now, in this particular situation, it's not going to result in closeness to me right now. And then we should have an attitude that says, well, if that's the case, I don't want it. I don't want it. If my purpose is really to enjoy God, why would I want something that's not going to help me enjoy God? So I hope you don't read this when he says, you ask and you don't get it because you ask wrong. I hope you don't sit there and think, ah, oh, wow, my prayers are being rejected on a technicality. You know, I'm not doing the right procedure, the right technique in prayer, and so God's saying no on a technicality. This is not a technicality. This is fundamental. This is the question, who's God? Me or him? When my flesh has a covetous desire and has the gall to ask God to provide for that covetous desire, at that point, instead of bowing before him as God, my flesh is trying to just turn him into some kind of errand boy. That's not prayer. And this is why people get angry with God. When people get in the way of their hostile desires, they get mad at those people. When God gets in the way of their hostile desires, they get mad at God.
Think about the things you have asked God for recently. Have any of those prayers been the idolatrous kind? Asking God for something while in your heart you feel like you have to have that thing in order to be happy? If you discover something, that's good. It's good in the sense that you have detected a very dangerous cancer in your soul, hopefully early enough before it does too much damage. Once you find prayers that you've prayed the wrong way, try praying for those things again, right now, this time in the right way. Talk to God about how if you had closeness with Him, you don't need those things to be happy. Then ask for them for the purpose of enabling you to draw nearer to God.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.